to the show, a good friend. He is the editor at BonginoReport.com, where we bring you the best conservative news of the day. He's also the author of a wildly popular book about George Soros, and one of the angles in that book has a lot to do with Ukraine. The book is called The Man Behind the Curtain. The author is my good friend, Matt Palumbo. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Actually, I mean, the genesis of the book, actually, was sort of born out of your book, Follow the Money, where you had a lot on Soros in Ukraine and how it related to impeachment. And I just sort of took that and ran with it for my Ukraine chapter. Obviously, you added a bit to it and then just sort of built the book around it. So yeah, I kind of viewed it end for that. But I'm looking forward to talking about this today.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because Matt's right. That's exactly how this started. I'm one of the publishers on Matt's book. Most of you know that. I've told you that when I had him on before about the book. But there is a deep tie with George Soros, and a lot just George Soros, but a lot of left-wing groups who used Ukraine as a piggy bank, Matt, for years. Now, that doesn't absolve Vladimir Putin of any of the, you know, terroristic acts he's engaged in right now, I believe, in Ukraine. But we do deserve an honest history of what happened. What's George Soros's influence there in Ukraine? Is he influential in Ukraine? How so? What's he up to over there?
Yeah, so I argue in the book he is arguably more influential there than any other country. A lot of his early involvement in politics was in these like post-Soviet countries where, you know, some like pro-business liberals will try to spin it and say he was trying to help spread capitalism. But in reality, he was just trying to, you know, take advantage of the transition. You know, mainly there was all these state assets that had to be privatized, and he wanted to buy them up for pennies on the dollar. And you know, he got influenced or positioned himself very early in Ukraine, was doing this kind of thing, spreading NGOs there, trying to help them be stronger against an eventual Russian threat. At the same time, he was also working with Russia. So he very commonly plays both sides. But his influence in Ukraine isn't really even hidden. He spent close to $200 million there since the 90s. And this is all obviously publicly documented. There's a Ukrainian newspaper that every year does sort of like their own like Times 100 list, and they put Soros in second place behind the president and ahead of the prime minister. So it's very well known as influence. I mean, I think the most direct recent link has to do with the Maidan protests, which led to Petro Poroshenko's presidency. Soros pretty much had his year. In fact, not that long after he took office, he gave Soros one of the highest awards in the country. And then immediately after that, Soros announced he's going to invest an additional $1 billion into Ukraine. He was placed in the National Investment Council. In the book, and I have examples of the, you know, the specific policies, but a lot of things Soros wanted, and, you know, obviously, again, a benefit of working in a historically corrupt country is he could just get Poroshenko to go around the legislature to sort of do whatever he wanted. Now, he ended up losing to Zelensky, who was, in the context of that election, was technically the anti-Soros candidate. So that's not a problem anymore. But, you know, he's so massively influential in the country in the same sense that, you know, when Trump was president, obviously Soros still had influence. And it's kind of that situation now where he fortunately doesn't control the presidency, but a lot of, like, the NGOs and just, you know, power players in Ukraine are linked to him.
We're talking to Matt Palumbo, author of a terrific book about George Soros called The Man Behind the Curtain. You won't be able to put it down. It's not a long book, but it's a great book. And it does follow up on some of the things we discussed in my book, Follow the Money, about how Democrats and some Republicans, folks, honesty matters, treated Ukraine for decades like a piggy bank. Matt, one of the things I know you get into the book is a group I've been very suspicious of for a long time. That's anti-AC, this, you know, anti-corruption group, Daria Kalaniuk and them. I see a lot of these people on TV now, understandably concerned about their Ukrainian, understandably concerned about what's going on in their country. But it's, you know, we can't have a serious discussion without recognizing that some of these same people who are now on TV talking about this were the same people involved in the impeachment hoax against Donald Trump who were working in this anti-AC group, which was funded, a lot of it, by Soros-affiliated groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, with all the Soros groups, I say they're like ironically named. Like they're almost trolling us with a name by calling it anti-corruption. Just to give some background, they've collaborated with like American agencies like the FBI, the State Department, and the CIA. One of the things that your audience will find the most interesting, though, is during the whole Viktor Shokin Burisma probe, which, as we all know, Joe Biden pressured him into getting fired by Petro Poroshenko. Anti-C was actually on the same side, saying that Shokin needed to step down. After that happens, not long after, the prosecutor's office looks into Anti-C for alleged misuse of funds, and then our ambassadors from Ukraine intervene out of nowhere and say, actually, there's really nothing to be seen here. One of them is a guy named George Kent, who's later cited in the impeachment hearings. And this sort of brings me to another Soros-backed group called the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, also ironically named, is another Soros-backed group, also cited about four times in the impeachment referral. So that's two Soros-backed groups in the same impeachment referral, working with our ambassadors who are working with, obviously, our government, by definition. So just a lot of links that are impossible to ignore, really.
We're talking to Matt Palumbo again, author of the great book about George Soros, the man behind the curtain. Matt, another angle to this was that the FBI over there in Ukraine, responsible for the region, I believe one of the agents over there later went on to work for a Soros group. I mean, he really knew how to, keep people in place, that he needed influential people to get things done. I mean, the influence there was strong.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I'm drawing a blank on her name, but I know which agent you're speaking about.
I think it was Greenaway or something like that.
Greenaway. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
I mean, he really knew. Now, lately, there's been a very strategic turn by Soros. Soros has been writing. I know you picked up on it. I've seen your writing on it. We obviously work together. He's been writing and attacking China and, Chinese communist policies, collectivism, and that kind of thing, which is kind of strange because the candidates George Soros tends to back, the Chesa Boudins, the left-wing DAs here, the Joe Biden far-left types, all practice the same type of kind of soft collectivism the Chinese Communist Party, some hard collectivism, is practicing right now. What do you think what's the motivation behind that? What's he up to?
So I guess, no pun intended, you follow the money. So, you have to wonder, the question I was asked is like, why now of all times? And you look into what Xi is doing. So he, for instance, cracked down on Alibaba, which is sort of like China's version of Amazon.com. Well, what do you know? A very large chunk of Alibaba is owned by George Soros. There was another company that went public a few months ago called Didi, which is sort of like China's version of Uber, and Soros owned a very large chunk of that. They cracked down on the company immediately after they went public. I think it's down 90 or so percent. What do you know? Soros, is upset about that because he's invested in it. So, all these, I think there's maybe two or so other examples I found too, where it's not until China went after companies that Soros was personally invested in that he pretended to care. So, unless it affects him personally, he's pretty much fine with it. I don't see much of the Uyghurs or anything like that. So.
Talking to Matt Palumbo, author of the book, The Man Behind the Curtain, about George Soros. Matt, George Soros and his groups, they're funding of far left-wing DAs who have failed to prosecute crimes, which has led to a dramatic uptick in very serious criminality throughout major American cities, ironically dominated by liberal politics. There's been a lot of backlash to that. Matter of fact, just today I saw that the recall for George Gascon, the awful district attorney out in Los Angeles, where we're on a KABC out there, seems to be steaming along. I just saw another poll, Chase Bowden from San Francisco. We're on there as well. San Francisco, 61% of some people support a recall effort for Chase Bowden. These are George Soros and George Soros type DAs. There's been a pretty significant backlash to that. Have you seen him, dial it back or dial back his support of him and his groups of these left-wing nuts?
So I haven't seen him personally dial it back. Well, the left is sort of, their messaging is getting mixed. So we saw Psaki get up there, this must have been sometime last year, trying to argue, it's Republicans who are for defunding the police, which no one really bought. Now, a number of cities that did defund the police, maybe like a third of them or so, have restored funding, partially, but not fully. And what I thought was the most interesting about the ones who restored funding is they did it quietly. So there were these calls to defund the police. They did it, I guess, knowing it was popular, but also, or popular at least in the context of where they live, but somehow knew the consequences and realized the consequences are worth fighting, but don't want the publicity of them actually doing the right thing. It's just a very weird thing where they're kind of basically advertising that they're doing policy kind of like off Twitter or based off what they think the optics on the left are, but not what's actually good policy. And we saw what happened in these cities where in most of them, the crime rate, including murder, more than double. So it's clearly a disaster. We kind of had our national experiment with that, and only a liberal would be willing to do it again, I guess, or only a progressive,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, as Thomas Sowell said, only a brilliant intellectual would would continue to look at this fact pattern, yeah, and do the same thing over and over again, although not verbatim. Matt, last question, I'll let you go. I love the book, obviously, and had a role in publishing it. It's a terrific book. But, you know, when it comes to Soros, I find it ironic that when you write a book like you did, backed up, thoroughly resourced with facts and footnotes, that the left, in order to get you to stop talking about one of their big donors, will claim ridiculous absurdities like, oh, it's anti-Semitism, which is hilariously stupid on its face, especially when it comes to me and you, people who've actively, yeah, supported. I mean, it's just a joke. But it's really strange. If you happen to be a conservative who happens to be Black, you're also a racist, right? So you can't win the argument. You're a minority group and you're a conservative. You're definitely a racist. Yet, if you're a conservative, regardless of what you've done historically to back minorities, speaking about any liberal, you are definitely an anti-Semite. It's a lose-lose, isn't it?
Pretty much. It is hilarious that, I mean, for the past, I don't know, 20 years preceding the past five, the left was very vocal about getting money out of politics. And I think in the most recent election cycles, they realized the primary beneficiaries of it. I mean, I remember someone put together like a chart. It was just showing like the 100 most influential organizations in America, which was like, the NYPD, various colleges, their big corporations. And I think all but two, all donations went to Democrats. Like, I think the NYPD and some other law enforcement agency were the only marginally right-wing major institutions in the country. So, they are the beneficiaries of billionaire money. We really like it, Sheldon Adelson, on our side, who was also Jewish, yet no one really called him anti-Semitic to criticize him. These people openly don't really believe anything when they're throwing these claims out anyway.
No, it's hilarious. So, Matt, just before I let you go, you need to watch my Fox show on Saturday night. I bring that up because it's one of your favorite segments. We are going to be doing an opening segment and fact-checking the fact-checkers. I know you love fact-checkers. They're your favorite people on planet Earth. For those of you who read my website, Bongino.com, you'll get the joke. Matt's dedicated 75% of his life to discrediting ridiculous fact-checkers because he can't stand the nonsense. It is quite easy. It is. Well, Tom Kircher, he's the world's worst, although Bill McCarthy with a certificate is a close second. So Matt Palumbo, author of the book, The Man Behind the Curtain About George Soros, read it. It's an eye-opener. You don't want to miss it. It's been a huge bestseller. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. My pleasure.